This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, thank you, Dan. We just want to welcome you all. We're testing this daytime hour to see if more of you can benefit from daytime hours, and we'll just trust you to let us know. See who calls in. We will have callers the second part of this broadcast. I'm not sure how long this first part will go. We just really feel this mandate today to pray in the power of agreement to break the power of the things that hold us back, whether it's blocks that came into our family line, sins, our own sins, whatever it is. We want to pray that prayer of agreement, believing that Jesus died to set us free, that we won't be blocked by these things forever. So what we're going to do is jump right into prayer as soon as I introduce Jan Basso that's with me today. I'm so pleased. We're going to jump right into prayer so that you know that within a couple minutes of the beginning of this program, when you download it from the archives or listen in the archives, that you will be able to just join with us in prayer right away. So we're not going to have a long teaching or anything this time. We're just going to share what God gives us as we go and pray over a lot of things that are common in us, our families, and our nation. And I'm so pleased to have Jan Basso with us today to do this together. She's a prophet, seer, intercessor, worshiper, longtime listener. She's one of our own alumni. She's in training. And she's from the Tampa Bay or Dunedin, Florida area. And I just want to say welcome. And one more thing, if you don't mind me regressing for a second here. For those of you that don't know that you can call in for free using free Skype, you can call in if you have a free Skype account and a free Blog Talk Radio listener account. All you have to do is choose the ID and password for each one of those, and you don't have to use up film minutes. You don't have to tie up your phone. It's just awesome. So this should be free to anyone, anywhere in the world. Hallelujah. So we thank you for joining us. And Jan, I just want to welcome you to the program.
Oh, well, thank you, Carlotta. It's great to be here, and I really appreciate the opportunity. Looking forward to helping people get free.
Amen. Well, I was inspired to do a program like this actually a long time ago when Jan and I were praying together to break the power of the most common things that we see in all families and in her own life and my own life. And we just, you know, I just got the vision right then. You know, we can do some of these things on the air so that all of you can join in too, because God has given us some pretty good insights. But instead of teaching this time, we're just going to do it. This is a Just Do It program. You may want pen and paper to make notes of the things that we cover and to just drive a stake in the ground saying, I have prayed about that. The power of that is broken. And Jan's also going to lead us in what we're going to receive in the place of the things where the enemy tried to block us, okay? Are you ready? Here we go. We're going to pray over a lot of things that are common to us and most families and all over our nation, really, and break the power of it because of what Jesus has done on the cross, okay? So in the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God, Most High, we come together in the exponential power of agreement to break the power of assignments of abandonment against us, rejection, the resulting insecurity, the desertion, or feeling disowned, the resulting fragmenting of our identities or dissociated identities. And we just say that every assignment of the enemy to do these things to us or our families is now broken in the name of Jesus, because We ask you to forgive us, Lord, five ways. We ask you to forgive us for any way that we haven't forgiven them, for judging them, dishonoring them, for blaming you, God. If we participated in these things ourselves, abandoning or rejecting others, and we also choose to forgive ourselves for buying into any lies that came in at the time. Amen?
Amen. And in place of these lies of abandonment, that orphan spirit, we receive the spirit of adoption. We know that we're accepted in the Beloved, that we're reconciled with our Heavenly Father. He understands what it's like to be rejected, but he loves us, that we can be safe and secure in his love, and knowing that he knows everything about our lives, that even if everybody walked away from us, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And this is the truth. And he bought us. He bought every one of us. He loves us like we're the only one, that he came to make us whole, to heal our broken hearts, to bind up every wound, and that our identity doesn't come from what's happened to us or even the way we've felt and acted, perhaps for years, some of us, but who we are in Christ. That is our true identity, and that's eternal. We thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. We thank you for your love for us, Father God. It's not just that Jesus died to take these things upon himself, but, Father God, you love us with this perfect love. And we ask you today to expand our hearts to receive it, that we can receive the wholeness, and that you've even been praying with Jesus that we would all be one with you. One with you, even as Jesus and Father are one, we can be one. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, we just come together to break the power of abuse in our families, down our family lines, and all across our nation. They say abuse is so huge now that it's like five people, men and women. So we, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of verbal abuse, emotional, physical, sexual, mental, or spiritual abuse. We break the power of this victim spirit that would want to live with us forever, cause us to be loyal to abusers. We break the power of ritual abuse across this nation, serial abuse. And we say in the name of Jesus that he died on the cross to break the power of these things, that we choose to forgive those who have abused us, and we ask forgiveness, God, for hating them or judging them with condemnation. And we choose to receive a spirit of redemption in our own lives, and we ask forgiveness for blaming you, God, for buying into the lies that they told us or participating in abuse ourselves. We thank you that we are totally 100% forgiven.
And Lord, in place the abuse and its lasting effects, we receive healing.
Yes.
We receive our true identity. I'm thinking particularly of word curses, God. We break the power of them off of our lives, and we receive the truth of who we are in Christ and what you say about us and what even the blood that you shed has the loudest voice over our lives. And that's a voice of mercy and grace and love. And we receive wholeness. And we're not victims anymore. We are more than conquerors through him that loves us, that love is more powerful than any lies that abuse has put on us. We're not apt to be controlled by anyone or anything but the Holy Spirit and that power of intimidation that often comes from that. Or, like Carlotta said, the proliferation where the abused becomes the abuser in any way. We break the power of that. We break the power of that. And we just speak life over all those areas that have been abused in our hearts and our souls. And thank you, Lord. You came to make us whole and to set the captives free. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And I just impart to each one of you that's listening, now or later, that you will not only be able to take these hurts to Jesus, and he will take them upon himself, but he will redeem every experience that you've ever had, that you will, instead of being on the bottom of the pile, so to speak, you'll be on the top. Instead of being the one that's intimidated, that you will have the courage to speak up, and even an extra anointing to minister to other people that are survivors of abuse and minister real healing, real freedom, and that we will break the power of what's going on down our family lines and across this nation.
Yeah, and I want to say a lot of times victims of abuse tend to react in fleshly ways to compensate for that. But it is not by our might or our fleshly power, but it's by your spirit that these things are broken off our lives. So we thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke and every bondage. Thank you, Lord.
Woo-hoo. Thank you, Lord. Another big one, you know, Jan, is addictions. And I'm not talking just recreational drugs and, you know, intravenous drugs and substance abuse of that kind. I'm talking also drug dependence to, like, prescription drugs that is rampant in the church, and obsessions, those kind of addictions, alcoholism. But also I want to step on a couple toes. We want to come together to break the power of addictions to things that just distract us from mm-hmm. our time with God and from what he's called us to do. So I want to come against addictions even to food or addictions to Facebook or computer games or, you know, whatever it is. A person can even be addicted to exercise, I mean, to good things. Whatever it is that we're leaning upon instead of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask you to forgive us, Lord. We forgive others that may have contributed to our addiction. We ask forgiveness for judging, condemning other people for being addicted. We ask you to forgive us for participating in ourselves, for not forgiving ourselves, or for blaming you, God, saying you weren't there for us, so we have to lean on this addiction. And we just say we renounce all that and break the power of it today in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, and I receive and we receive the freedom that Christ purchased. He came to set the captives free. We receive freedom even from compulsive behavior, which is like we're controlled. And we could be, like Carlotta said, we could be addicted to anything. But, Lord, we want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We want to yield our vessels to you, Holy Spirit. And we could be also addicted to anything, our performance. You know, are we good enough? So we strive even in religious activities and so forth. So we break the power of that. And we receive freedom. We have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear. And I say any underlying fears that have caused many or a lot of us to be addicted in one way or another over our lives, that the fear that God won't take care of us and just sometimes we're just filling in time, Lord, that you're going to fill all those empty spaces with trust, freedom. You came to set the captives free. And we thank you, Lord, that we yield ourselves completely to you, and you come to set us free indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. And, Father, we just thank you for freedom from addictions, but we just choose to confess right now. Well, ask you, first of all, I guess, is there anything in our lives that we're addicted to that is stealing from the time that we should have with you, or from our gifting and calling, or time that we should spend in worship, or whatever. Whatever we're leaning on for comfort to, it's not the comfort of the Holy Ghost. We just renounce it right now. We choose to repent. And I just want to add one thing, that we confess the sins of other people. We agree with God that those things are sins, but we repent of our own sins. And so we just choose confess the sins of anybody in our family line and people all over our nation that are addicted, but we also repent of our own sins.
Amen. And Lord, you said that we should be aware of the wiles of the enemy. You're not a legalistic, structured, you know, whip-throwing God, but there are assignments that are sent to distract us. And something that might have been good for us a week before isn't quite right for today. So, Lord, we just yield ourselves afresh to being totally led by the Holy Spirit. We really, really thank you for this. We want this, Lord. We need this. We need this. We want to become true sons in Jesus' name.
Amen. All these prayers today, we want to open our hearts and be willing to call sin, sin, not just call it an issue or, you know, a problem or a distraction if it's really sin. So we just choose to agree with you, God. And I want to come against one of the most common things there is, Jan, and that is anger with sin. Even God gets angry, so I'm not coming against all anger. But anger with sin, like anger with hostility, it goes into rage or violence or retaliation or revenge. You know, even passive forms of aggression where we act our anger out and do what we know irritates that person. Even giving them the silent treatment. It, ways that we know that we are not being upfront about our anger, ways that could drag us into bitterness and unforgiveness or resentment or condemning judgment or wrath. We just come against all of these in the power of agreement, and we say we choose to repent of ways that we have had anger with sin, and we forgive those who taught us anger with sin. We forgive those who demonstrated that. We ask forgiveness, God, for being angry at you for letting those people in our life, or we ask forgiveness for our not only our own sins, but we ask forgiveness for believing the lies that it was okay for us to act out or melt down or give people a piece of our minds when we should have been giving them your spirit, giving them you, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, for total forgiveness in this area.
Yes, amen. And anger can be suppressed. A lot of times we're told we can't express anything, maybe some of us in our childhood. So it could go back and forth between outbursts of rage to totally suppress, which in the form of bitterness or whatever, I mean, it turns into the root of a lot of our diseases and our physical problems. But sometimes we don't see it or we don't remember it. So, Lord, we just thank you for freeing us from this, that you are our God. You said vengeance is yours. You will repay. But it's not that we're wishing anyone or anything that's ever hurt us rightfully, or maybe we've even twisted it to believe it was bad and we have the right to be all up in arms about something. But, Lord, you're the one who takes care of all these situations. And we thank you that we can hand everything to you. You're concerned for everything that concerns us, Lord. And we thank you for a release of just love, washing us, cleansing these areas, Lord, and renewing the way we react to things, Lord.
Yes.
That we have the fruit of self-control, which is birthed by abiding with you, with your spirit, God, and that you see every injustice that's ever been done to us, Lord, but you will repay, and there is a time of great vindication coming for his people, but we have to learn to let you have it. Let you have it, Lord, and thank you for making us whole in these areas. Thank you for renewing our minds and our reactions, Lord, and that we would hand it to you. It's not a sin to feel anger, but we need to give it to you, Lord, so that we can act rather than react in Jesus' name.
And, Jan, if you give me a minute here, I want to share the most useful tool that I have found for dealing with a whole lot of things we're going to pray about today is to learn to be assertive. Because I know a lot of you are saying, I just don't know how to express the anger without getting into sin. And so here it is. Here's your answer. If you'll write this down, it's an acronym that starts with A, B, C. And I found that when I took this seriously and I really started practicing this, I had the right amount to say in almost any situation, And A stands for I admit, you know, what the other person is asking for may have some validity, some value. B is but this. And C is what I'm going to choose to do. And so what I've shared before is someone asks you to work 7 days a week or keep the nursery forever or something that is difficult for you to answer. You just want to say in your dreams. But you know that you need to give them a loving answer. Then you can say, I admit that you really do need people to work overtime, or you really do need extra workers because the nursery is an important ministry. And then you say, but I have to check my calendar, but I have to pray about it, or but check another commitment that I have. And C is what you're going to choose to do. I'm going to choose to tell you right now that I can't do that, or I will let you know in 48 hours. Or I can do it this 1 week, but not after that. Hear me, only this 1 week. And so when you use this ABC of assertiveness, where you admit that there's something valid about what they're asking, but you have to check your own schedule, responsibilities, or pray about it, and see, this is what I'm going to choose to tell you, you know, that I can or that I can't, or I'll do it one time. Then when you learn to respond to people with the ABC, then usually you won't overdo it. You can focus on acknowledging that there's something important about what they're asking, even if it's not your calling or not in your schedule or not possible for you. And another option is to say, I admit that you really have a need there, but I know that I'm not the answer to it. It's not what God's asking me to do, so I'm going to choose to tell you right now that I will be praying for you, that God will help you with that. That's one of my stock answers, too. So, Father, we just receive the ability to give people a clear answer, to not leave them dangling, but neither to get into anger with sin. We receive the ability to be assertive today in your power and to give them a clear and certain response.
Amen, amen. And that kind of leads into the next areas we'd be praying over.
Okay.
You know, when we're dealing with people who may be angry, we don't have to come under control. So, Father, we're just confessing the sins, whether ours or other people's in our lives and our reactions to them, of control, whether we're over or under control, manipulation, possessiveness, dominance, sometimes apathy or people-pleasing. That's a big one. Along with criticism or judgmental attitudes, gossip, murmur, slander, sabotage, undermining, things we do with our mouths. Cursing, profanity, strife, false accusations, blame shifting, suspicion. We confess our sins of all of those things, Lord, and we ask you to forgive us. And we forgive and release others who've done this to us. I mean, who of us haven't experienced a lot of this, Lord? But we confess these sins, we repent, meaning we turn away from these sins to the way you would have us do it, and for judging others who've done these to or about us. We forgive ourselves for participating in these sins. Now, thank you, God, that we're yielding our whole vessels and particularly our mouths to you in these areas. And we renounce them, and we break the power of agreement with all these things and the resulting fruit or curses that have been in our life. We thank you for the blood of Jesus and the cross of Calvary.
Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross so that we could have your power to be free from sin in our lives. And we just come today in agreement with that prayer, Jan, to just lay our tongues on the altar. And so we want our tongues to be your tongue, Lord, that we will be your voices and not a medium for the devil to speak through us. And we want to speak life over people instead of death. We choose to speak blessing instead of cursing. We want to be that person that you can give insights, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, of prophetic words, because our tongues are dedicated to you. And you might be thinking, well, I don't know if I'll pass this test because everybody in my family had a potty mouth. Well, we just give that to you, Lord. We ask you to break the power of it today, that instead of being known as potty mouths, we'll be prophetic mouths, and we'll be your voice to others. And people will know that we are not perfect, but that we are choosing to speak blessing and not cursing when we open our mouths.
And Lord, thank you, thank you. I just see this as a lot of these things are because we're self-justifying. And Lord, that's flesh. And Lord, you've already justified us. So whether we're on the receiving end of these things or occasionally, you know, we flip into these things and we haven't done it a lot in the past, Lord, we just thank you that you've justified us, that you're our defender. We don't have to defend ourselves anymore, and we don't have to control our surroundings. We're really secure in you, Lord, and that helps us really a lot to overcome these things. Just knowing that, Lord, that you're in control, and we want you to be in control. Thank you, Jesus.
Just one more thing on that, too, Jan. I'm just getting that the verse, trying to think if it's in Proverbs 12 or wherever, that says we get the fruit of our own mouths. And so we take responsibility, Lord, to choose to speak your will and way and timing over ourselves, our family and friends, our nation, because you say we get the fruit of our own mouths. And we can speak our own future into existence. We can speak, blessing and your prophetic will, way, and timing over our friends and family and even our nation. And we choose to take responsibility for the fruit that comes from our own mouths. And also, I want to come against another big one. We're just faced with it in the news every day. There's so much death everywhere, here and abroad. And I just want to come against the spirit of death, of premature death, whether that's miscarriages, abortions. I mean, we've had a huge Holocaust going on in this nation with abortion. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody. We just want it to stop here. We come against the spirit of murder and suicide and self-mutilation and self-destruction and cutting, and just giving up, really. We come against that spirit that would try to steal the life. Jesus is the life. Would try to steal that from us. In the name of Jesus, we renounce it. We break the power of it in our family lines. And we ask forgiveness, Lord, for any way we have spoken death over ourselves and others, even casually, you know, like this is killing me. We ask forgiveness for judging others for their agreements with any of these forms of death. And we ask forgiveness for blaming you, God, when we've experienced loss or felt suicidal, even ourselves. And we ask you to forgive us, Lord, for any way that we have fantasized or humored or even in the past come into agreement with a spirit of death or premature death.
Oh, yes, Lord, that's a huge one, Lord. Lord, you died to defeat death. Death was defeated in your body through the resurrection power. Lord, this spirit of death has been so strong in our world, and we are the ones to say no more. It's still at work because of iniquity, but we come against the power of death, and even as it's come against people in the body of Christ, that feeling of futility, of giving up, we just renounce any agreements with that, and we release life. You will live and not die. You will declare the work of the Lord. You will not give up. The Lord has not left or forsaken any one of us. He has much more to demonstrate over this spirit, and it is defeated. And, Lord, we look forward to even it being defeated in our glorified bodies with that fire baptism, with that even the transfiguration. Lord, I just thank you that death is defeated, that it's lost its sting in Jesus' name. It's Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for life and life more abundantly. And we don't agree with any lies, whether they're in our mind or the enemy or what we see. We come and we declare opposite of the situation. We speak life everywhere we go. Help us to understand that that's perhaps one of our biggest roles in the kingdom, is to speak life and life
Amen.
More abundantly. That's what you came for. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the truth of your life and your power in Jesus' name.
Amen. I totally agree with that, that is our role, that Jesus Christ is the life, Jesus Christ lives in us, and we are to speak life, and we're to believe in others, and we just choose to believe in them, their calling, their gifting, and to speak life into their vision, and to speak your power, to impart your life into everything about them. Amen.
Mm. Yes.
Lord, we speak life to dreams that may have been delayed, but they're not denied. God, you've put many things in us and things that seem unattainable by our own efforts. But, God, this is what you want us to co-labor and rest with you about. Is we just speak life force into people's dreams, God, that we're not here to live marginal lives just getting by, but we're to be exuberant with your love and power. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. And another big one for me, guys, has always been these cycles of meeting people that were deceivers. So I want to come against deception and the great delusions that are out there right now, huge deceptions, whether it's self-deception and people want to be deceived or whether they're blindsided. We come against these lying spirits living in denial or secretiveness and family secrets, or distorting and confusing the facts, exaggeration. We come against all of these forms of falsehood and deception in the name of Jesus, and we ask you, Lord, to forgive us for any way we've participated in it, judged other people who did, maybe judged our ancestors, judged people in authority over us, judged our leaders for deception or lying or delusion, perpetuating delusions in our nation. We come against all of that. We ask you to forgive us, God, for even blaming you for when deceptive people have come into our lives. And we forgive ourselves for falling for the lies. And we say we choose to receive your truth. We choose to receive honesty. Amen.
Yes, Lord, and I thank you for breaking the power of deception off of our lives, off of my life. Lord, sometimes we have preconceptions also of the way we want things. So we deceive ourselves thinking God's going to do it a certain way. So we break the power of that, and we release the truth, Lord, and we really haven't even believed the truth about ourselves and who you've called us to be. Like me and maybe a lot of us, there was a lot of lying and the word subterfuge comes to mind. Even exaggeration, Lord. Some of us have had predispositions to tell big fish stories, so to speak. And really, that's flesh. It's like we're propping ourselves up. But, Lord, we are free to just be exactly where we're at, to be transparent, to know that you're going to come and fix everything pertaining to our lives. And I'm reminded, you know, Jesus, you had Judas. I mean, you saw it. You saw it clearly. But that spirit is at work. But we don't have to have any part of deception. We thank you for the spirit of truth on the inside. Shine it in ourselves to see where we haven't seen things honestly about who we are in you, whether
yes.
good or bad. Whether good or bad, because we know that we are free to trust you to make everything right. And we don't have to accomplish anything by our own efforts anymore. And we break the power of the lies of the enemy. Well, that's been a big one with me sometimes, because as you're going through these exercises, you say, is this discernment or is it the enemy? He said, you don't know, because the gift of discernment belongs to the Holy Spirit. And when you're in a storm, you don't know if it's your own flesh, the enemy, or the Holy Spirit, or what God's doing. He says, just lean on my heart. Listen to my heartbeat, and I will reveal the truth, and I will give you peace. Thank you, God, for peace over all the lies of the enemy.
And Father, you told us in Revelation and several other books in the Bible that there would be great deceptions and great delusions and blindness in the last days, and we're certainly here. But we know that we can pray and we can stave these things off. We can shut the mouths of the accuser. We can not participate in accusation ourselves. We can be true intercessors. And I just want to shut the mouths of those that would participate in these lying and gossip. Lying and passing on lies about other people, that we would have pure hearts and we would not listen to gossip. We'll only listen to what's lovely and good report, and we'll only share what's lovely and true and good report. And in that obedience, that we'll be in a strong place to come against the deception and the delusions that are just getting beyond belief, especially in our nations now, as the Antichrist began to build up these delusions so that they can just take us over individually and corporately. So we just unite in the name of Jesus for truth and honesty and for to be in alignment with what you say, God, and not just be repeating back the delusions and the deceptions that are so strong today.
Yes, Lord, and I just want to add of the deception that's come into the body of Christ. Lord, as watchmen, we may see, I don't think any of us have the whole truth, and there's many things going on, but Jesus, you are our plumb line, and your word is the plumb line. But there are leaderships and even whole denominations falling into great error. And we say, Lord, help us to know how to speak into that. Some of us may be sent to speak into that, but to do that according to your spirit, but we block it just coming into the body of Christ. You said there'd be a great falling away, God, but and that the sheep would have eyes to see, and they would stick with you and the truth of your word and your spirit and not be drawn away into this area, I think it's called syncrety, Lord, the leaven, the little bit of leaven that spoils the whole lump. Help us, Lord. Help us to stay in safety in your truth.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I just can't help but go on to something else as a result of that, Jan, is let's come against the depression that happens when people see the delusions becoming greater and greater. They know they're prophesied, but then sometimes you don't know what to do and what to pray when it becomes overwhelming that your own nation, you know, isn't taking the stand for God or God's values or, you know, for our allies or things that we did in the past. And so, God, we just come before you asking you what to pray and how to break the power of the depression that would try to come upon us. And we say, I'm sorry. Pray for my voice. God, you said that without a vision, the people perish. And without knowledge, another version says, that we perish. And we choose to receive your vision and your knowledge, and we come against the depression that comes sometimes when you do know what's going on. We come against the depression that would make us just want to escape or hide our heads in the sand, to not fight, to not be warriors, and just to hide. We come against the depression that would cause us to isolate and withdraw or to feel hopeless or disillusioned or discouraged or go into denial and say it can't all really be happening, whether it's a personal depression due to loss or failure or, excuse me, illness or something, or whether it's part of this spirit of national depression that would want to come upon us and say, oh, no, here we are. And so we come against that. We renounce our all previous agreements with it. We renounce any of the participation of our ancestors with it. We renounce participation of our nation with things that would cause us to want to be depressed and withdrawn and not involved. We renounce our participation as the body of Christ, that we would withdraw and hide and say, well, it's not our problem, or we can't be involved. And, you know, and we receive, Lord, your freedom as we repent from this sin, as we confess our sins and the sins of our ancestors, we receive forgiveness for judging other people for the same thing, even for judging you, God, or why are you letting all this happen after we've served you. We receive forgiveness for buying into the lies and repeating depressive things ourselves. And we just forgive ourselves for speaking and getting the fruit of our mouth being depression. Amen.
Yes, Lord. I'm reminded our feelings aren't necessarily facts. They can lie, Lord, but we release hope and we release life and we release the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, Lord. Yes. And the depression sometimes comes when we're waiting. We're waiting on God's promises. But, Lord, I release patience and endurance and perseverance and strength. The joy of the Lord again. I just want to say that. And Lord, we can all be disappointed, but help us to overcome those disappointments, Lord, because we're putting our trust totally in you and not men. And sometimes we pursue things in our own means or we get ahead of God because we've been waiting for things for so long. And I thank you that I'm just releasing encouragement right now on the body of Christ. Jesus, you paid for this whole thing, and you're not going to let it go down halfway, whether that's in our lives or our nations or the world itself. Lord, you have a plan, and you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Strengthen us from the inside out to resist this and the disappointments and disillusionment. These are lies, and these are strong spirits at times that come against us, but Lord, just renew our minds. And even some of us, maybe we need help in our brains, in our brain chemistry, whatever it is, whatever the cause, God, you came to set the captives free, and you came to bring life more abundantly. You said joy to the world. That's what the announcement of your whole mission is, joy to the world. So we speak joy to the world in Jesus' name.
Amen. I just want to reach out today to everyone that feels like they do have an imbalance in their chemistry, or maybe you have a diagnosis, or maybe you're bipolar and you know that there's you need a creative miracle in your DNA. And we speak healing, 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 and creative miracles over everything in you that might lead to depression. And we speak vision to those who would be cured by just having a fresh vision. Clarity of vision from God. We speak purpose and we speak motivation and an alignment with God's plans and purposes that would give you a reason to get up in the morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the connections and the people that would invest and support and honor you in your gifts and callings, and that you can have hope and not feel helpless, but know that you're connected and that people believe in you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I
just wanted to say, Carlotta, praise. Praise is such a strong weapon. Lord,
yes.
It's kind of opposite of depression. You notice you don't feel like praising. Well, do it. It's a sacrifice sometimes. Do it. And we said you gave us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So, Lord, if we just do our part and begin to praise you, there's always something. You said in all things give thanks. You didn't say give thanks for everything, but
right.
In all things we give you thanks. And we give you the sacrifice of praise. The praises of God are nigh us, even in our mouth. Just open your mouth when you don't know what else to do and give him praise for something. And it'll just expand in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A huge area that the enemy has used in my life has to do with division, whether it's in divorce or in separation, feeling separated from other people, division from other people, people being unfaithful to me or me being unfaithful to something, or irresponsible or a big thing in the church today is also spiritual adultery, where people are having emotional affairs or feel like someone is their soulmate who is not their spouse. And we just come against all these forms of division and separation, that feeling separated from God and others that the enemy tries to increase and increase, that separation or unfaithfulness or divorce. And we renounce these things in the name of Jesus. We confess the sins of our ancestors. We repent of our own sins in any of these areas. We forgive ourselves for participating in them. And we ask forgiveness for blaming you, God, and saying, you know, we just had to get our own needs met and do it our way because you weren't meeting our needs for a spouse or whatever. And we repent for blaming other people for the division. We take responsibility for our own choices and our part in it. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. There's no unforgivable sin, so regardless, the blood has not lost its power and it's adequate.
Yes, Lord, and I also want to thank you for healing children of divorce and the great pain that causes children. And we release true covenants, true covenant marriages. excuse me. We release true unity in the body of Christ. I'm seeing that there's been a lot of talk about, excuse me, get a sip of water. There's been a lot of talk about unity, Lord, but we want true unity, and that really comes from aligning with your headship, Lord. So we repent of trying to make it work in our own striving efforts, Lord, or to medicate ourselves from the pain of being in these divisive situations. Lord, you're the head. You're the head of your church, and you're the head of every family. And whoever you've brought together, we say that no one, no man, no woman, nothing can put us under. And we release a spirit of faithfulness, of people honoring each other. We release honor. And we release acceptance, Lord, and the overcoming power of Christ to forgive others, Lord, and to see the way you put everything together in a perfect alignment with your body. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you're putting the lonely in families, but it's your choosing, Lord. And we thank you that you've forgiven us for wrong alignments. And that could be in the body of Christ or friendships or, you know, maybe seasonal things where we had to learn something, Lord. But we just forgive ourselves for that. And we release true unity in your body, God. They will know that we are truly followers of you, Christ, by our love. Thank you, Father.
And, Father, we just choose to forgive those, particularly who've caused separations or divorce in our families. We forgive those people for any resentment and unforgiveness for their part in the separation or divorce or division in the family. A unique ability for children to forgive their parents for getting divorced, for not being able to make the marriage work, or for being separated, whether they're still in the same house or not. And we just choose to forgive those in our family line that have disappointed us this way, and to be humble, to know that we're all dependent on your spirit, Lord, and to be humble and to be intercessors and not to judge others. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to come against. Go ahead.
I was just going to take that if you didn't mind. Coming against emotional dependencies on people that are less than God ordained, codependency, codependent relationships, false responsibility for other people's problems. Like we're going to clean up other people's problems and God didn't tell us to or enable them. We're selfish and dependent. Lord, we confess these sins of emotional dependency, codependency, false responsibility, enablement, or selfish independence, Lord. We confess these sins and those of our ancestors. And we forgive and we release them all for doing these things to us, for participating with us in them, or for passing them on to us. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, for these sins, for depending on people more than we do on you, for our value or to get what we think we need. And we renounce these sins. We forgive ourselves, and we renounce any judgments we've had against others in these fleshly interdependent situations, Lord. In their place, God, we receive full trust on you to work out situations, that we're not looking to man as our source in any situation, but we're looking to you. Thank you, Lord.
And Father, I just want to pray healing today for the fixers out there. I was a nurse, and I was also a fixer, and I didn't understand codependency for a long time. And Father, I just want to pray healing for those that feel false responsibility for fixing other people and get into relationships and even marry them, who get their identity from their supposed role of fixing that person. And no matter how much chaos their own life is in, they just keep trying to fix that other person. And Father, we just receive the ability to see the mote in our own eye or the beam in our own eye. We receive the ability to hear your voice, to know what our assignments are. We receive the ability to have relationships that are healthy instead of relationships where we imagine that that person needs us to survive. And we repent of trying to be a savior to other people and to fix them. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you want us to give them true counsel from your spirit of wisdom and counsel. And, you know, that's fine. But I just speak healing over people that keep finding themselves in these cycles where they're trying to fix other people in their own strength, or they feel secure because they think that person needs them, and will get out of need-based relationships and just be in the relationships that you ordain for us, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we just want to thank you that you really are the source of everything we need. You can use people to bless us, but they're resources, Lord. And so thank you for breaking those cycles off of our lives. We look to you and you alone as our source, and we work out our own salvation with godly fear and reverence and trembling, God, that we know that you release to us clearly what is our part in different situations and when we need to just back off and let you work. Sometimes, most of the time, the sooner we let go, the sooner you have room to move and do it your way, because your ways are above our ways, Lord. And we thank you that you know how to work all these situations out, that we don't want to rely on the arm of the flesh anymore, but your spirit alone, God. And you know how to fix everything, God. You do all things well. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And I just hear, Jan, that some of our listeners are thinking, I don't even know how to love somebody in a healthy way. I was never loved in a healthy way myself. I don't have any hope right now of being in a relationship where anybody loves me in a healthy way. I'm just messed up. And so I just want to come together in the power of agreement to renounce all the false definitions of love that we've had, where people told us they loved us, but actually, at very best, they misunderstood us, you know, that they abused us while they're telling us they love us, or they pretended to love us and left us out, or didn't appreciate who we are, our gifting and calling, or our talents, or they just overlooked us, or maybe they were downright critical and destructive. But at any rate, I want to pray for the people today that think that love includes all these things, that if you're going to be in love or be loved, that it automatically includes painful abuse and misuse and outright rejection and all these things. And so, Lord, we just ask you to forgive us for even buying into the lies that this is what love is, for judging and dishonoring those people that abused us and didn't love us, to give us a true understanding of what love is, Lord, and we repent of blaming you and thinking that even you did not love us. and we repent of not loving ourselves. So we confess the sins of our ancestors and anybody else that claimed to love us but actually were very destructive to us, and we forgive them. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord, for showing us what agape love is. It's love without hooks. It's love without what-ifs or buts. It's unconditional, Lord. We release unconditional love and understanding that your ways are above our ways and that we can trust your love in all situations. People are imperfect at times. They don't act right. They don't know how to love. They're wounded, Lord. But you in us is perfect, and your perfect love casts out all fears, all false identity, all, you know, situations where love wasn't represented properly, Lord. But you're showing us. You're showing us your love. You're showing us what agape is. You're showing us, Lord. And we just want to become that love, and we want to be that to others, Lord. And we forgive ourselves for not being maybe perfect in our own strength. But God, give us the grace to just be totally forgiving and to focus on your love. Love never fails. Your love never fails. You also said that you said, owe no man anything except to love them. Well, that covers a lot of issues, doesn't it? Fear and control and all these kind of things. Owe no man anything but to love them. Lord, teach us, expand our capacity to love. You are in our spirits. Those that are born again, you live fully in our spirits. Touch our hearts, expand our hearts to be able to truly love the way you do, not just in action and deed, but in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Lord, you said that your perfect love casts out all fears. We choose to believe that. I know I used to have a big problem with anxiety, and I think that this is one of the biggest ones, Jan, that causes people not to have breakthrough, that causes them to feel stuck, that causes them to be...
My name. You said my name. Yep.
causes people to be afraid to walk through open doors. So I just want to unite in the power of agreement right now to come against assignments of fear and anxiety and worry and phobias, false illnesses, being double-minded, that kind of fear that would cause us to be double-minded, or even our emotions to shut down, or even to feel like we're in a double bind where God's saying to do this and yet we feel like we can't, or people are saying step out and then they say, no, don't leave me. Whatever it is, we come against this and we renounce all sins, all curses that have been set over us, all actions in our family line, all influences to have fear, anxiety, worry, phobias, false illnesses, to be double-minded, to be held back by double binds, to have shut down emotions. We repent of participating in these things ourselves. We forgive those who taught us to live in fear and worry, anxiety. And we ask forgiveness for not receiving your perfect love, God. Mm. We choose to receive your perfect love. We choose to be your love to others.
Yes, amen. And Lord, for those of us who have struggled in these areas, I suppose most human beings have, but some of us who've had ongoing problems, I know I have with anxiety in particular. Lord, we just want to thank you that you are healing us very, very deep, whatever those things were that came in, that rejection and abandonment that it lodged on top of. But at some point you're saying you take the responsibility because fear is a false prophet. It's a false voice. It is a lie. And we believed it and operated on our emotions and our, you know, those lying thoughts that are fear-based for so long. We have to renounce fear as a false prophet. And really, at some point, when you know how you're thinking and you're in those wrong places in your thoughts, you have a responsibility to cast out fear with God's perfect love. And we renounce that fear has been an idol in our lives, because really it set itself up as antichrist to a lot of us. And Lord, we just thank you for your love, your perfect love that casts out every bit of fear, that you've not given us the spirit of fear. That's not from you. It's not really even real. That's the reality of it. It's just a result of the curse, and it's broken by the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus and the resurrection power. And Lord, we just renounce having fear as an idol in our lives, God. It does not have the right to speak over us. We may have feelings at times, but we put them under us. That you've given us power and love and a sound mind. Speak love over our minds. Thank you for the mind of Christ, God, and also the heart of the Father, Lord. There's nothing to fear. We are in you. We don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear man. We don't need to base our actions or decisions on fear anymore. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for breaking us free of this. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Woo. I want to also come against fears of obeying God. To me, the only real risk in life is disobeying God, but a lot of people don't see it that way. And I want to come against fears of obeying God, of stepping out, fears of even God's financial principles, fears of tithing or giving, however you see that, fears of lack and poverty, and fears of never getting out of debt, of, and other fears of being left out or not noticed or something that causes us to spend too much. And so I just want to come against all these ways that we or our family lines or our nation too much to disobey God's principles and gone into way, way, way into debt. And so we renounce this financial bondage, Lord. We forgive those who have influenced us to go into more debt and to disobey you financially. We forgive ourselves for doing it. We ask forgiveness for all the ways that we didn't trust you, God, and ran up credit card charges or went ahead of your timing by finding a way to get funded when you weren't funding us because you weren't ready. It wasn't your will, way, and timing. And so we forgive those, Lord, even that influence us in any way to give up our financial freedom and to be greedy or stingy or whatever that has led us as a, to be the borrower and not the lender.
Oh, yes. Amen, Lord. And I just want to say I renounce unbelief in the area of finances. You said the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people in poverty say, I don't love money. I don't want anything to do with it. Well, that's still the love of money. You're making it an idol. So we renounce and confess our sin of unbelief and doubt that you are our provider, that we have an abundance in everything we need. You said you promised seed to the sower and bread to the eater. More than enough, Lord. And we confess that everything we own and everything we are and everything we have is 100% yours, not just 10% yours. It's 100% yours. Teach us
right.
How to yield to in every way you want us to distribute. Let not our right hand know what the left is doing. Teach us to yield joyfully in giving. You said you love a cheerful giver. Teach us that there is never any lack. And I come against the spirit of poverty in particular, rooted in unbelief. Lord, I release trust. We trust you. If the money systems all fail, you'll still take care of us. Maybe that's why some of us are having to deal with strong issues with this right now, and maybe
yes.
Seeming shortages or whatever, God. But you've taught us in all things to trust you and to be content in all things. But, Lord, I speak abundance and freedom in finances, Lord, and I speak faith. I speak faith because if the monetary system crumbles, you still will take care of us. I release supernatural faith over provision in general in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I say that we will be the lenders, not the borrowers, as we align ourselves, as we repent, and as we align with your financial principles, that we will be the one that you can say, what do you have in your house? And we'll say, well, only this much oil and flour, but you will be able to multiply it, not only for us, but for others, that we will be the ones that will be wise like the ant, prepare, and that when there is scarcity or famine or lack, that we will be the ones that people can come to, even as they came to Joseph, and he had had a plan to prepare, and he was able to bless so many. And instead of being, you know, suffering from our financial disobedience, we will have more than enough, abundance to share, and faith for it to multiply, not only so that we have enough, so that we can give, but we can even invest. We thank you, Lord, that it won't be our recession, but that we'll be under your financial kingdom no matter what's next. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, and I want to say again, if the money system was to fail, which we are praying against at this time in Jesus' name, even though it may be pushing towards that, we pray against that. But if it does, we'll be able not only to be providers or trainers in these areas, but we'll be able to release peace and supernatural faith and trust. And this may be the way indeed that a lot of people end up coming to God, that those miracles of multiplication will happen on a regular basis, Lord. Nothing's too hard for you. In your kingdom, there is no lack, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to go deep down in your heart here for a minute. Just take a deep breath, everybody, because I want to come against things like self-doubt, even self-hate, self-condemnation, self-sabotage, where you know that you have an opportunity, so you do something so you'd be disqualified, so you don't have to face the pressure or deal with success, self-rejection, accusation. Sometimes those things manifest as like eating disorders, blowing opportunities, criticizing yourself all the time, you know, speaking negative, cursing yourself. It all amounts to one variety or another of hate turned inward. And Lord, we just know that you have commanded us to love others as ourselves, that it is important for us to love ourselves, and we choose to repent. We confess the sins of our ancestors who lived this way in self-doubt and condemnation and sabotage and all. And Lord, we come to you today asking you to forgive us for, and we just cry out to you to teach us how to love ourselves and others as ourselves. We cry out to you for forgiveness for the ways that we took on these bad habits of putting ourselves down. And we choose true humility. We choose to walk in forgiveness, and we choose to receive all that you say we are and that we have in you. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen. And whatever the cause is, I think word curses is a big cause of some of this, Lord, but whatever the cause is, you know, you said we would be transformed. When we see you, we will be like you. When we look at you through the mirror of the perfect law of liberty, we will see you. We will see you perfectly, and it's in us, Lord. And I'm seeing a picture. I went through something a couple weeks ago where I had a vision, and the Lord put a picture of me on the wall, and he said, look at it. It was hard to even look at it at first because he was healing me of some deep hurts. And he said, what do you see? He said, what do you name this picture? And I said, beautiful. He said, indeed. And then he showed me a mirror on the wall, and he said, look in it. He said, what do you see? And I said, I see Jesus. So, Lord, you are stronger than any false identity issues in our lives, and that you're beautiful. And it's I rebuke false pride that masks as humility. Lord,
okay.
You want us to see ourselves as beautiful. You made us. You made us fearfully and wonderfully. Marvelous are your works. You knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. you have a plan, and it's beautiful. So, God, we just receive our true identity in Christ, and we thank you for this, and we thank you for revealing this to us from glory to glory.
Amen. Amen. I, you know, I'm aware of the time, guys. I'm aware that usually we would be stopping right now to give individual words, but I'm going to tell you, hope you don't hang up, but I'm going to tell you, I believe we're supposed to go ahead because I believe that in these prayers, there's a word for every one of you, if not several. I know there are for me. And I want to pray one or several that are for our nation, too, not just us. And I want to come against idolatry. This nation has, you know, huge idols. We even have programs called idols because we're just so hypnotized to idolatry. And we always think of someone else in some foreign situation with this, you know, some carved image in front of them. But we have our own images here. We idolize social status in our own image, our own appearance, our own strength, wealth, power. We idolize our children or our mates. Some people idolize wanting a mate, or especially our possessions, prestige, promotions. We idolize sex, some people, anything related to sex. And we can even be guilty of idolizing our ministry, gifts and calling, anything that we really put before worshiping the one true God. And this nation is certainly teetering on a spiritual cliff, I would say. I'm more concerned about that cliff than a political cliff. But we are teetering on the edge of a cliff. That's a kind way to put it, I guess, of not being a nation under God anymore, definitely not putting God first. I mean, our own entertainment is our idol here, and I've been guilty of this, too, trying to rein that in, thinking that I just deserve to relax and be entertained. So, I'm preaching. So, Father, we ask you to forgive us for our idolatry, and especially the pride of thinking that it's always someone else that's in idolatry. We thank you for this convicting us of the things that we put before you. We thank you for convicting us and our whole nation of thinking that any god or pagan god will do, and even comparing them to Jehovah God. And we say we choose to obey you and to worship you alone as our God and our source. And so we forgive those in our nation that are in idolatry, because you know that you let whole nations go into captivity over and over for idolatry. And we choose to be their intercessors, not their accusers. We choose to not condemn them, but to forgive them and to forgive ourselves. And we choose ahead of time not to blame you for any discipline or judgment that you have to bring against this nation for idolatry, but to humble ourselves and pray and to call out to you to heal our land and to receive the conviction that we really do need to put God first and be one nation under God. Whew.
Yes, Lord, and we just thank you for thinking of the book of Revelation where he urges us to buy gold tried in the fire, Lord. Search our hearts, Lord. Search our hearts and help us to see objectively what you see in us and help us to change. And God, anything that's good that we have in this nation, we're grateful for it. We're grateful for abundance, Lord, but help us put things in their right perspective. Help us to put things in their right perspective, Lord, and to utilize them for your glory, Lord, and not as idols, God. Help us to keep our hearts and our minds fixed on you and seek first the kingdom and all your righteousness, and then all these things are added to us, Lord. Help us, help us, help us. Show us our need, God. Show us our need of you. These things cannot fill those voids, but you can, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for a true move of repentance to righteousness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. For true Yes. Thank you, Father. Amen.
I just agree with all of that, and I pray that we will truly, whether you call it revival or awakening or restoration or what you call it, that we as individuals and we as a nation will truly turn to you in a true attitude of worship. Even a lot of our worship songs, so-called, are about me, 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 and what we get out of it. And we have no intentions of making real sacrifices, you know, being disciples that really lay everything down or, you know, we're just so self-centered. And a lot of us don't even know why I'm praying this. You know, why does she see us that way? But, Lord, open our eyes to see how to worship you as our only source and as our holy God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. And I just want to say, you know, our whole lives are to be worshiped. It's not regimented. I think some of us are meant to expand more in our expression of beautiful things and glorious things and art and joy and beauty and all these things. We're not to feel bad about any of that, but Lord, we just want our heart centered on you. Then everything we do, whatever we do in our in and out daily lives, becomes a form of worship. And this is what the kingdom is about, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. I've heard a lot of criticism of our leadership in different areas that have to do with lawlessness, but I also want to start out saying that we need to tear down the strongholds in our own lives first. And so, Lord, we look at ourselves and our family lines, and we come to confess the sins of our ancestors and repent of our own sins where we have been disobedient, where we have been lawless in your eyes, Lord. Maybe there's illegal business practices or thievery or, you know, borrowing things from work and never returning it or a compromise of integrity, stretching the truth, tax evasion, corruption in our own lives, our own family lines, Lord, injustices that we have suffered or done to others. And or the opposite of all that, maybe being too legalistic, oppressing people with rules that are too rigid, religious rigidity or hypocrisy, doing both sides of this, or putting people on guilt trips. Lord, you said that in Romans 7:1 that we are free from the law of sin and death. And we say that we know that Jesus Christ in us came to fulfill the law. And so we choose not to be focused on the law as the way we earn our salvation or anything, and yet we choose to be obedient to you. And we just come today to consent of our ancestors, to repent of our own sins of either being lawless or legalistic either side. And we ask you to forgive us. We choose to forgive them. We ask for forgiveness for judging them, and then we became like them, or for expecting them to fail and defiling them, or even accusing you, God, of not helping us to obey you more. All the confusion that we have in the body of Christ about whether we're able to keep the law or not, whether we should try, you know, or whether we're too legalistic and tripping people up, bewitching them into going back under the law. We just bring all this to you, Lord, and we ask you just for real insight and freedom in this area, that we will operate out of the Spirit and not by the letter of the law.
Yes, Lord, and I just want to release a spirit of excellence, not perfectionism, but excellence, which is born of the Spirit. It's propelled by the Spirit of God, the spirit of excellence. Lord, and you said that if we come under the law in even one point, we're responsible for the whole thing. Lord, so show us the areas that even in our own minds that we've come under that or we've believed wrong things or done wrong practices, Lord. We're forgiven, Lord, but give us absolute freedom in these things, and I release the spirit of grace over us. Thank you, Father, that we really begin to walk in that grace. Thank you, Father.
Lord, and I just break the power of performing for acceptance off the folks, performing for approval, thinking they have to perform, live the life for Jesus instead of Jesus living it for us, you know, thinking we've got to just try harder for the rest of our lives. I just release insight and wisdom that we will all understand how to release Jesus Christ to live it through us, and that whether we're trying hard or not hard enough, we will know that it's only Jesus that can fulfill the law. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Amen, and thank you that we just live out of that place of true Sabbath rest and abiding in the true vine, God.
Yes.
That our works don't come first, but they come out of that deep, intimate relationship with you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. And now I'd just like to agree with the prayer of the fathers, hearts of the fathers to come back to the children and the hearts of the children to come back to the fathers. And we just want to break the power of anything that holds us back in the areas of parenting and children. So whether we see ourselves during this prayer as the child or as the parent, we just receive your healing, Lord. And so, Lord, I just want to speak right now to those that were neglected and not cared for as children, that were favored too much or not favored at all. Those that had harsh discipline or those that had none, lack of discipline, those that were only experiencing conditional love based on their performance and they have no clue what real love is. And we just come against that feeling that they have to do the parents' work or, you know, be responsible because their parents weren't responsible. We come against confusion of roles between parents and children, and dishonor of authority and dishonor of children too. We just come against that tendency to usurp authority if they had deadbeat parents or irresponsible parents, or to undermine authority. And so, Lord, in all these ways that the enemy has caused confusion and hurt and pain between parents and children, we just break the power of it in Jesus' name. We come together in prayers of agreement to receive your forgiveness for any way we've participated as child or parent in this confusion of roles. And we receive your forgiveness for judging parents, for judging children, for not doing their part. We receive your forgiveness for not being good sons and daughters to our parents, or for judging our parents for not being good parents. And we even ask you to forgive us, Lord, for blaming you for the parents or children you gave us. And we receive your forgiveness, and we just call forth the hearts of the fathers and mothers back to the children and call forth the hearts of the sons and the daughters back to the parents.
Oh, yes, God, your heart is for families, Lord. Your heart is for families, Lord. It doesn't matter what we've had, Lord, but we release a spirit of order, godly order in families, where we truly honor and prefer one another and look out for the best, but in a way that's spirit-led and that brings forth the true seed and treasure that you've put in all of us, Lord. Thank you for restoring honor in families.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to speak to those parents and children out there that are confused. They don't have a clue what to do different. And we just speak reconciliation by your supernatural power. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in the hearts of all concerned. We pray that each person will take responsibility for their own part in any of problems between parents and children. Will just take responsibility for their own part, and that each one will get right with you so there can be true reconciliation and the devil won't be the winner and we can enjoy the relationships that you ordained for us, Lord.
Yes, Lord, and I thank you for family salvation. Salvation,
yes,
for all our unsaved loved ones. Some of us have been waiting for years, Lord, but you did it with us. you're going to do it with them, and that we don't look at the current circumstances, but we trust in your promises, God, and we know it's coming. And it's not just going to be, you know, toe in the water, name only Christianity, where they're, you know, great. I love deathbed conversions. They're awesome, Lord. But I thank you that, these family members will have radical conversion experiences and encounters with the risen Christ and be totally transformed and blown away by your love for them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Okay. I just feel like God is in this, Jan, and we should continue on. I'm thinking we might have a whole program on the infirmities and diseases. But today, can I just go on to a big one that I feel like is the root of almost everything is pride. And in the name of Jesus, we renounce sinful pride, and that would even result in perfectionism. You know, where do we even get the idea it was even a possibility to be perfect ourselves? It would cause us to procrastinate because we can't do things perfectly. It would cause us to be arrogant, self-important, self-righteous, or in self-pity, that we should have way more attention than we're getting. And we come against that rebellion and disobedience that comes out of pride, that defiance of you, God, that stubbornness because of pride, and jealousy and envy. Oh, and Father, we just confess all this pride and rebellion and jealousy and envy, and that it is sin, it's not just normal, and we renounce it. We repent of it ourselves, we confess it in our ancestry line, in our nation. In the name of Jesus, we say the power of it's broken, and we ask your forgiveness, Lord, for any way that we've participated in any of these, for our own arrogance and self-importance and self-righteousness. We ask forgiveness for judging other people for being pride, not seeing how we look just like them. And we just thank you, Lord, for teaching us what true humility is. True humility. Ooh.
Yes, Lord. And false humility is sometimes thinking we're not good enough, and we can hold to those labels sometimes too, Lord, but we just see ourselves clearly as you define us. I also see pride not always as a haughty spirit, but masking kind of as a doorkeeper where we don't see ourselves, so it's like a spirit of denial. We do not see our own pride, Lord, so would you just unmask us, because usually underneath that is a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, you know, all that orphan abandonment fear stuff. Lord, just help us to see ourselves, that you're not coming to accuse us, but to set us free, that that spirit of denial cannot block the healing anymore in Jesus' name. That spirit of pride that says, I don't need anything, or I'm okay. Well, Lord, maybe we don't honestly remember or see our problems, and you're not doing it to shame us, but you're doing it to set us free. So we call those spirits of pride as doorkeepers down from their assignments in our soul, and we say, we're free. We're free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Humility is the beauty of holiness, is the root of all virtue. You humbled yourself and came. We thank you, Father. We just thank you that that's a work that you can do in us, and we will see the lies that cause us to rebel or go in defeat, disobedience, or even to defy you, and we didn't even see it. Thank you, Lord, for breaking the power of these patterns in our life, where instead of just saying, yes, Lord, we say later, or no, or maybe, and we don't humble ourselves before you. Thank you, Lord. In fact, I want to come against religious spirits too, Jan. The bondage to religion, looking religious. I even have a bunch of these on our deliverance groups page. And this may not make any sense to you if you don't know what religious spirits are. But a religious spirit wants to replace what the Holy Spirit is doing. And there are so many ways that that can be done. If you just picture any church service or your own quiet time, but if you just picture a church service, it can look like emotionalism or not enough emotion. I mean, a religious spirit doesn't care. It just wants to distract you or cause you to do something that is not what the Holy Spirit is trying to do there. So we, in the name of Jesus, we just come against any spirit in us or our family line or in our nation that would be anti-Christ in any way, that would cause us to compare ourselves and criticize people or to compete with them or to be attracted to the power and cult or confused by false grace or to be divisive with denominations, denominational spirits, to be too emotional or not put our heart into it enough, or to even cause us to fake manifestations or be drawn to false religions. Lord, I just come against all religious spirits that glory in our own performance, whatever it is. We touch the glory that is intolerant of other people's expression of their spiritual life, that falls for false, too legalistic or too liberal. Lord, spare us from mechanical prayer worship, from New Age or humanism. Spare us, Lord, from opposing the movement of your Holy Spirit in our own lives or in others, or even using our spiritual gifts to compete or react to others or to play Holy Spirit in someone else's life. Forgive us, Lord, for quenching the Holy Spirit, for persecuting others for religious reasons, or in these days, not standing, you know, and helping others that are being persecuted, for being self-righteous, for sexism in the church, Lord, this is huge. Forgive us for prejudice against others because of religious beliefs, for spiritual abuse, for putting our traditions before you, Lord, or just any kind of worship that is not your life in it. And so, Lord, we thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for opening our eyes and ears to discern what the Holy Spirit is doing and being in tune with that. We ask you to forgive us for judging others for being religious instead of spiritual. We forgive ourselves for being religious instead of spiritual. And we thank you, Lord, that you are transforming us and showing us the way.
Yes, amen, hallelujah. I see this as working through basically human flesh throughout history, Lord. But, Lord, teach us and fill us, baptize us afresh, refresh us with the Holy Spirit so we don't even park on past moves of worship. That we yield to the moving of the Holy Spirit and the way you want to do things in these times, Lord. We just repent of being led by our flesh and not by the Spirit. And God, I thank you for a fresh outpouring in the Holy Spirit. You know, I think some people have the baptism, but they don't go fully in. There's the Holy Spirit and fire. We thank you for a fresh baptism of fire, God, and that we choose not to operate by our flesh in everything. And we don't compare ourselves to others. And it's, I believe it's rooted in fear of man. So, God, we just thank you that you're in charge of your church. You're the head, and you work by and through your Holy Spirit. We give you preeminence in all of our lives in Jesus' name.
And, Lord, I ask you just to wreck us, Lord. Anything in us that's religious instead of true spiritual life with you, letting the Holy Spirit lead us, I ask you to wreck it, Lord. Just don't leave us in this place any longer. If we have wrong priorities, wreck them, Lord. If we have wrong budgets, wreck it, Lord. If we're operating out of our flesh, wreck it, Lord, so that we can get on with true life in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and won't spend our whole life on wood, hay, and stubble, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, God, that this is going to be a reformation of some of the things that we've accepted as, you know, word and truth that really aren't, that they're traditions of men and they've maybe been masked. Lord, I thank you for ripping the masks off of those things. Anything that we've accepted as your pure truth that is not, you said you're going to shake everything that can be shaken. Thank you, Father, that what was left standing is truly what you've made to be in your image and likeness.
Wow.
Amen.
Thank you. I pray that this whole country will come back to a true spirituality, one nation under God, you know, really knowing who God is, real worship, real submission back to some of the better things that we had with our founding fathers. They weren't perfect. This nation was established to have freedom of religion, freedom of worship, and I just pray, Lord, that we don't lose that, that we will protect it, and that we will be worshiping you in spirit and truth ourselves. And, Lord, I just, I want to come against this idol of self. I know it's huge in our nation, many of our families. And if you have this in your family line, you can come together with us right now to break the power of idolatry of self, whether it's self-sufficient independence, being self-centered, self-promotion, self-exaltation, jockeying for position, you know, all this competition and everything. Or it can be just the opposite. It can be a similar, self-absorption and self-indulgence, self-pity. And we say, Lord, that we choose to receive ourselves as you created us and to worship you as our God, that this self-sufficient self-reliance that is the opposite of depending on you, Lord, just building ourselves up rather than being willing to be containers and expressors of you. We want it to be about us. We come against that in the name of Jesus. We choose to repent of our own sins, to renounce the sins of our ancestors and our nation. We choose to receive humility and a true dependence on you and ability to be humbly interdependent with others, Lord. We choose to forgive them and for ourselves for the ways that we have fallen for the self thing. In Jesus' name.
I thank you, God, that you defeated all of that on the cross, that it's no longer I that live, that Christ lives through me and in me. We exalt you, Lord. We say the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. That
yes.
is the truth in Jesus' name.
Amen. So unlike some people, I'm not actually exactly saying that self should die. I don't see that as if we could differentiate that between the flesh dying, that we bring our flesh to the cross.
Amen.
And our first teaching in Now Faith TV is on how to bring flesh to the cross, because I think people have overlooked this. They just kind of glaze over it when they read Scripture because they don't know what it means. But, Lord, we choose to receive ourselves as you created us for your purposes, and we're a glory to your name. We're partakers of a new nature, of a divine nature. But we bring our flesh, that kind of self-sufficiency, self-centeredness, self-promotion, to the cross, ask you to bring it to death and resurrect your likeness in its place. Hallelujah.
Yes, we reckon it dead, Lord. We reckon it dead, Lord. And we thank you that you are in us and you're the hope of glory and you're coming out through us, the parts of our soul that is being sanctified and transformed from glory to glory into your image and likeness, that you're going to come straight out through us. And that is the glory, God. And you created us each in beautiful and unique and special ways to glorify you, God. So we thank you, God, that you will be glorified in and through our lives.
Thank you. Now, we wouldn't be praying for a third great awakening, for revival in our nation, for breakthrough in ourselves and our families, if we didn't pray about sexual things, sexual strongholds, sexual confusion, sexual sin. And so if you'll just give me a minute here, I want to list a bunch of them. You know, when you're praying about the sins of your fathers, your ancestors, you don't know what all they did, because most of us, even though the Bible says the sins of the fathers go down 3 and 4 generations, we have no clue what our grandparents or great-grandparents did, you know, or wanted to do. So in the name of Jesus, we're just going to confess these things as sin, knowing, God, that you know. You know the sins in their hearts, and you know the sins that have been in our hearts. Or even when we lusted and wanted to do it and didn't have the courage. So, Lord, we agree with you. We align ourselves with you, and we confess as sin all sexual addictions, homosexuality, lesbianism, perversion, transvestite, cross-dressing, and all, they say there's 50 genders now, the sins of every type of sexual perversion, sexual unfaithfulness, immorality. We confess trauma through molestation, everything that little children were not protected from in sexual ways that they shouldn't have even known about. We confess the sins of adultery and philandering, bestiality and demonic sex, sex with fallen angels, defilement, all things unclean, exposure and striptease, fantasy lust, frigidity, all incest, all internet lust, all addiction to masturbation, or orgies, or pedophilia, or pornography, premarital sex. A lot of people don't even know that's wrong. Fornication is sex before marriage, prostitution, rape, satanic ritual sex, seduction, allure, and sexual abuse. And, Father, we just confess these things as sin, pen of it, any of it in our own lives. We ask you to forgive us. We forgive others who taught us or did these things to us. We forgive ourselves for the lies we bought into when we were sexually violated or in sexual sin. And we, excuse me, ask you to forgive us for judging others.
Yes, Lord, thank you for releasing total freedom from all bondage, Lord. Thank you for your blood that cleanses us and washes us and makes us pure and white as snow. Thank you, God, that your blood never loses its power to cleanse, Lord. And thank you, God, for even washing our minds and our eyes and our ears from most of us, all of us, have been exposed to the filth that's just around us. And Lord, that we're not defiled, but we're new creations, and we have renewed minds and clean hearts and clean hands, God, that we can walk forth in purity, and that you give us the strength to do that in this perverse land, God, that we're not citizens of this earth, but we're citizens of heaven, God. And we thank you for the robe of righteousness. And we thank you for freedom from all shame and guilt and condemnation,
yes,
God. And for trying to do it on our own when we can't overcome it by our own strength. Lord, you are more powerful than all these defiling things. And we repent from worshiping the creature rather than the creator. God, you are so good. We love you. And we put our eyes on you, God. Thank you for cleansing us from all defilement. Thank you, Father.
We thank you, Lord, for healing for sexual sins, whether it's common sexual sins or most traumatic, voluntarily or involuntary. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, that all embarrassment or humiliation or shame that we've suffered, that you're taking that upon yourself, and that you're redeeming every experience that we've had, that you'll leave us with the wisdom and the ability to minister to others more powerfully than ever before. We thank you that you're able to purify our hearts and to give us back our innocence and to cleanse us in every way inside and out. We just thank you, Lord, that we are in no way defective or damaged goods. We repent for even speaking things like that. And we say that we are the redeemed, that we're restored, that we are new people. We're not even that person that we were before. And we choose now to obey you, to walk a life of purity, and to ask you what level of relationship we should have with people and not be violating your plan and purpose, but to be an expression of you and your heart in every relationship.
Amen.
That feels good. Lord, I just come against failure cycles of any kind, not just sexual or financial or religious or whatever, but success and failure cycles. We just break the power of failure cycles in our relationship, in business, in education, in employment, in ministry, relationships, whatever. We break the power of the assignment of the enemy to cause us to fail, cause us to lose hope and to quit or to abort your plan and purpose, Lord. And we forgive those who spoke failure over us and who interfered with our successes or sabotaged us or lied about us. That's a big one. Spread false accusation and lies about us. And we forgive them. We ask you to forgive us for any way that we've interfered with another's success or been jealous of it, any way that we've aligned ourselves and agreed with spirits of failure. And we especially ask forgiveness for any way we've blamed you, God, saying it's your fault that we haven't been more successful or we've appeared to be a failure. And we choose to be whatever you want us to be, God, whether it's to abound or be abased, whether it's to be rich or not so rich, whether it's to be famous or obscure, we choose success by your definition.
Amen, Lord. And again, as a form of worship, whatever we do, that we do it wholeheartedly unto you, that we do things because it pleases you, not to earn it, but because we love to please you, Lord. And you've ordained us to go and bear much fruit, but that we see it the way you see it, that you are well pleased in us, Lord. And we don't take it by worldly definitions, God, just that we pursue what you have for us to pursue wholeheartedly unto you. Amen.
I just want to throw in there the passivity and apathy or laziness or anything that would cause us to be discouraged and not try, that we would receive the promises of God. We receive what God's promised us personally or in general. We receive the fact that you want to prosper us, God, and that we will not be satisfied with failure, with not trying, will not be satisfied with barely making it, with a minimum. But we will believe for more than enough to be blessed and highly favored, to be given opportunities that we don't even deserve, and that we will be a glory to your name and have a big part in advancing your kingdom. I just speak over every listener that they are already a valuable contributing member in the body of Christ. Whew.
Hallelujah.
So, Father, we give you today our unbelief in any form. Unbelief in any form. Doubts, mistrust, where we can't trust you well. Our suspicions about you or others, God. Our paranoia that, you know, we can't trust others. Our inability to keep the commitments that we make to you. Or any doubts that you have made us worthy, any way that we base our eligibility or our self-esteem on our own works, all these things that lead us to feel inferior and inadequate and that will never measure up, we give it all to you, Lord. We ask you to forgive us for our doubt and unbelief. This one could have been first, really. And we come against the spirit of doubt and unbelief and unworthiness that would keep us from obeying you, from saying yes, Lord, and that would cause us to doubt ourselves, to doubt you, God, to doubt others. And we ask forgiveness. We ask forgiveness for when our ancestors did and modeled it for us. We ask forgiveness when we've done it ourselves. And we ask forgiveness for projecting that doubt even onto others and say it's because they doubted us. And we choose faith. We choose greater faith. We choose to see ourselves the way you see us, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, you are a good God. It's probably the biggest thing that we need to see in each of our lives is that we can trust you, that you are only good, God. Even if bad things happen, you are good, Lord. And we believe you, and we believe in your eternal plan, and we love you, and we thank you for being such a good God. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. And there's one huge thing that the enemy is doing with that doubt that we, even though we're about out of time, I want to go over this in general. We're going to talk about the occult and, you know, creeping into the church and into our families and into our lives a lot more in the next 2 months here before Halloween. But tonight or today in general, can we come together in the power of agreement to repent of every way that we ourselves have dabbled in the occult in the past and not knowing that the effects of that could be limiting us today and blocking us today. So in the name of Jesus, we choose to repent of our own sin and confess the sins of our ancestors and our nation of having this huge tolerance and being proud of it, of every kind of occult thing, whether it's astrology and horoscopes, or whether it's, you know, mediums and automatic writing and clairvoyance, and or whether it's different types of meditation and Eastern religions and false gods, whether it's wanting to know the future besides what God will tell us, and we use eight balls or ESP or fortune telling. Lord, forgive us for dabbling in religions, cults, false beliefs, for attracting demonic spirits to us, spirit guides, Lord, for tolerating movies, books, series on the TV, every kind of open door to demonic spirits, whether it's music, whether it's games, that we're inviting these demonic and cult spirits into our homes and allowing our children to look at it. Lord, forgive us for actually inviting principalities and powers and rulers into our house, for watching it week after week, for the for mixing it in with our worship, mixing in Santeria or voodoo or seances or whatever. People wanting more power than they have in the Holy Spirit, so they want to learn how to read Harry Potter and know how to do spells and hexes and all of this. And, Lord, we just repent of watching Twilight and vampire movies and all things demonic and being attracted to these demonic powers when all we need is the Holy Spirit. We repent of morbid curiosity into witchcraft and Satanism. And Lord, we thank you that you have died to set us free from these things, that the Holy Spirit is all we need, and we confess all these things as sin. And we repent of allowing these programs or movies or music or books or practices in our homes and in our lives. And we choose to worship you only as our God. We choose to forgive those that even introduced us to these things or lied about them and told us it was just fantasy. But we repent, Lord. We know we need to repent. If we want our lives, our nation, our families to break through, we have got to come to a place of true repentance.
Amen. I just want to also add drug use in general. It's such an open door to... I mean, most of it is belched out of the pit of hell. But even pharmaceutical drugs and how that alters us, Lord, unless it's ordained by you, you know. Thank you, Father, that you're the only one we want to worship. You're the only
yes.
one that has all power. We can only get power by yielding to your Holy Spirit, Father. And I also want to come against that related to sometimes in the church, in the prophetic, people move by divining spirits. They may or may not know it. Lord,
that's
purify
right.
purify us in the church, too, in the body of Christ. Thank you, God, for purifying our hearts and our minds from all these, the exposure to these things.
Thank you, Lord. We choose you alone as our source, Holy Spirit. We break our soul ties with any demonic spirit, any spirit guide, any source of power besides Jehovah God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, Son of God, Most High. We break those soul ties with books and movies and TVs and programs and everything where we have reached beyond what you have furnished us, God, for other powers and other information. And we choose to press in to know you, Lord, to be expressions of you and your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, that we will experience breakthrough, those of us that have prayed this with sincerity today, that we will experience breakthroughs, open heavens, open doors, that even our families will notice the difference. But as we continue to pray these things in some cases for other friends and family, for our nation, those of you that are called to be burden bearers or intercessors, we thank you, Lord, that we will see breakthrough happening, revival, a third great awakening. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, our time is up, Jan, but I just thank you. I didn't mean to lie to you. I really thought that we'd spend about an hour in prayer today at the most, but I believe this is God. What do you think? I believe this is God.
It fit perfectly, didn't it? We covered a lot.
We did. We did. In fact, I'd like to end with a song called No Mercy by Robert Gay. It's talking about no mercy on the enemy, and I hope that's what we have done today. We've just come against the enemy in every way we know how, and I hope you'll share this program with other people, and that you'll come back and join us to pray for our nation, too. You can use the same program in the archives.